I'd ask you to turn with me now to the book of Psalms, Psalm 31, and the first clause in verse 15. Psalm 31, verse 15, the first clause. My times are in thy hand. My times are in thy hand. And what a mercy that they are in the hand of God and not in the hands of wicked man. This psalm of David is reckoned to have been written upon the time, as we read in 2 Samuel 15, when Absalom usurped the kingdom. And in it we find both David's case of solemnity, but also underlying each a case of confidence in God. Look in the verse before our text. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. What a glorious and gracious statement. If we are enabled to say this at the beginning of the new year, that the Lord is our God, or as it is put in another place, that this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. There are three things, M, that we want to consider in looking at these words. My times are in thy hand. There is a recognition here that his times were always in God's hands. Secondly, my times are in thy hand, that is, at this present moment of time. We live for the moment. That is, the only time we know is the present. The past has gone, the future is yet to come. My times are in thy hand. But also we can consider them as that which lies before us, because if our times are now in God's hand, then they consequently will always be in God's hands. I want to trace out in the life of David the experience of a true believer, where God first begins with us and his guidance and direction throughout life's journey, even unto journey's end. We begin with David at home in his father's house, the youngest of all the family, and there designated to watch over his father's sheep. A simple task, a devoted work. And yet in this we see that there are also imminent dangers. And there are dangers in the lives of every one of us. We know not what may strike us or what may come upon us in the ways of sickness, affliction, trial, distress. These things also come suddenly upon us. And as we look back over our lives, no doubt we can count many circumstances in which these difficulties came into our lives. And yet we found that the Lord brought us safely through. Well, you'll remember how David recounted how that a bear and a lion had come to take from the flock some young lamb for its prey. And David had gone out and fought with the lion and with the bear. Now, these are two of the fiercest of animals that man could meet with. And remember that David had no modern weapons, but he was dependent upon God. And I'm sure in these early beginnings, there was a cry which came from his heart, "Lord, help me." And what a wonderful prayer it is for us, ever to call upon the name of the Lord and cry, "Lord, help me." This is a prayer that may be useful in any circumstance or situation of life when things suddenly come upon us. Secondly, when Goliath resisted the armies of Israel and spoke against Israel's God, all the army of Israel was afraid of this great giant. But the fear of God was in young David's heart. And although but a young youth, yet he had the courage and valor to take on this enemy. See how at first he tries on the armor of Saul and finds it cumbrous upon him, and he's unable to use it because he has not tried it. But he goes out to meet this giant with a sling and six stones that he gathers from the brook. And he goes in the strength of the Lord his God. Now what an impossibility lay before him. This great giant, who was a man of war from his youth, and had no doubt slain many men, coming up against this young, ruddy youth, who was inexperienced in the things of war. There was no match. There was no contest in the eyes of the Philistine. But what he didn't reckon with was that God was with David. What a mercy if God is with us. As the apostle says, if God be for us or with us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? And so David ventured forth, and he trusted in the Lord. He did not have confidence in his sling or in the stones that were in his bag. But taking one stone out of the bag, he aimed the sling. And the sling, by God's grace, hit the mark. And the Philistine was stunned. And David came and with Goliath's sword thrust him through. "My times are in thy hand." Later on, we find Saul, the king who Samuel had anointed to be king of Israel. In his disobedience, the Lord had rejected him. And in that rejection, Saul was highly jealous of David. And we're told in the account that it was simply because he recognized that the Lord was with David. And again, we think of those words, "Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What do men and women see in us? Do they see that we are the Lord's people? Does our life reflect our nearness to God, our union with the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, David's religion was real. The Lord had begun with David, and David, in love, began with the Lord. Now let us ask the question, that all-important, that vital question, has God begun with us? Has he begun with us in our lives? Has he begun to show his favour toward us? Has he begun to show that we are eternally his? Has he begun by declaring us unworthy, totally unworthy in and of ourselves, but complete in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Has he brought us to put our trust and our confidence in the Lord alone? Man often puts his confidence in his own ability, or in the abilities of others who are befriended to him. But the Christian learns that man is fickle at best, and the best of men are men at best. And therefore he finds, by experience, a sometimes solemn, sometimes blessed experience, that God is the only one in whom we can have confidence, that he ever is as good as his word. David then was pursued by King Saul. And we read of David in the court of Saul, how that Saul suddenly took a javelin and cast it at David, seeking to thrust him through. But David on those two occasions avoided the spear, the javelin, because God was with him. God ruled and overruled in his life. And in all things, he found that God's favour was toward him. But you know, in the experience of the people of God, not everything is easy going. There are those many disappointments that we find in life. And one of the great disappointments in David's life was when he had come from foreign countries back to his own land. He had been there with Achish, and the Philistines objected to his presence, and therefore he was sent away. And David came back to his own city of Ziklag and found that the city had been spoiled, that the enemy had come in and taken his wives and his children, his possession and the possession of those that were with him. And how this greatly grieved the psalmist at this time, how he wept many tears. And there will be times and situations in our lives when tears will flow from our eyes because we come against things which are hard for us to bear. Disappointments, sorrows, afflictions all come upon us. It is part of the trial of our faith. It is part of the discipline of our lives. It is to try us to see whether we are of God or not. You know, there are many a fair coloured Christian who seem to progress well in the things of God, seem to be firm, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are great assets at the time to the church and to the people of God. But then some great disappointment or some sorrow or some affliction comes into their lives, and they do not bear up in the affliction, and they prove that they were never of God. They never had that true relationship with the God of Israel. And therefore, all that they sought to do came into confusion. And when they most needed God, God was not there. We need to be proved in our religion that our religion is real. Oh, to be kept from a false hope, a false confidence in something that we cannot prove. May the works of God, however difficult they may seem at the time, may they prove to be a blessing to us in the end. All things work together for good to those that love God. To hold on to the profession of our faith without wavering, knowing that God is with us. God be with us, then all is well. And so David prayed unto the Lord. He prayed that the Lord would direct him and guide him into what he should do. And the Lord directed him to go after those that had destroyed the city, and that he was promised that he would recover all. And so David is obedient to God's command and goes forth and recovers all that he had lost. What a mercy that there are those times in our lives when everything seems to come to nothing. Then we feel to have the loss of everything that we have possessed in this world. And there are some of you here this morning who know something of this. You've lost everything. What a mercy if you have not lost your God, if you have not lost your religion, if you have not lost your faith, that God will maintain and sustain you through the difficulties, and you will recover all. But then there are those times in David's life where David falls. And how solemn it is in the lives of a true Christian when they are left to themselves and they're left to fall. And how grievously did David fall, that he lusted after another man's wife and took her to himself. And then her husband was put in the fiercest part of the battle that he might be killed. And so David was guilty of adultery and murder, two most grievous complaints against him. And yet David does not seem to be over concerned about his condition. He seems to be able for a season to live in ease. And the expectancy of a child before him, and all that that would mean to cement his relationship with her. But God took the child. And again, David is found in the place of tears. Great sorrow comes into his life. And if to add to his great sorrow, the Lord sends his prophet Nathan to point the finger of accusation to David, saying, thou art the man. Thou art the one who has sinned grievously against me. But the Lord has put away thy sin. You know, it's beyond our comprehension, the wonderful compassion of God toward us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Or that we may be brought to confession. And again, this is a true mark and evidence of a believer, that if they sin, and we do sin, that we confess our sins before God. How bold was Peter before the crucifixion of Christ? He said, though all men forsake thee, yet will not I. But when it came to the test, he fell under the temptation and he resisted. Not the temptation, but he resisted God. And therefore he fell with a grievous fall. But again, Peter repented. And the Lord, after his ascension, recovers Peter and sends him forth to a great work. My times are in thy hand. Then there are times of sorrow. There are times of joy. There are times of testing and proving. There are times when we have overcome by the grace of God and we are restored to our former state, or even better. So as we look back over our lives and see how God has preserved us and maintained us to this present moment of time. And I'm sure each one of you can search your hearts and search your ways and find there a diversity of things. If there be no changes in our lives, then there is no evidence that we fear God. It is in those changing circumstances that we come to rest upon our beloved. There our faith is increased, our strength is given, our prayers become real and urgent, and there is a sense of our great need before Almighty God, knowing that he only can fulfill that need for us. So we look back over the year that is now past, and we have much reason to give thanks unto God that he has indeed preserved our lives to this present moment of time. So we come to think of the present. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. What wonderful words these are. Where do we stand in relationship to God at this present time? Are we able to echo those words, thou art my God? Or if we cannot go that far, if we do not have the sufficient confidence of faith to be able to say that, can we say that we desire God to be our God? Can we see that our lives without God will most definitely come to confusion? We were mentioning King Saul, how that he disobeyed God, and the consequences were that God left him. And when he was able to read, as it were, his doom, he applied to the witch at Endor for encouragement and for help, instead of turning to the true and living God. To whom do we turn in times of trouble? Do we turn to this world, this vain world of sin and sorrow? Or do we turn to a tender and merciful God? And these words, I believe, are words of encouragement. My times are in thy hand. And all that we should pray, Lord, give me to see it. Give me to understand it, that my times are in thy hand. They're not in the hands of fate or of chance or of anything else. They are in thy hands. And what safe hands they are. Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ say that he would keep his sheep, and none would pluck them out of his hands, and none would pluck them out of his Father's hands, who he says is greater than I? So we are in safe hands. Do we feel the comfort of it? Do we acknowledge that our hands, that our times are in God's hands and at God's control? What a mercy to rest upon the promises of God that he has given unto his one church and people forever. What do we know then of the Lord's dealings with our souls? What do we know of a state of union and communion with him? It's not just to utter words. David did not flippantly speak these words, but he spake them with all great gravity and certainty. My times are in thy hands. And although he had many enemies at this time, many that would trouble him, try him, and perplex him, yet he says earlier in this same chapter, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Here will be our courage and our confidence to know that the Lord has redeemed us, that we are part of that family of God here below, that we are born again of the Spirit of the Most High, that we have a new birth and a new life, that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus the Lord. That the Lord has begun a good work in us which will be continued to the end of our days. Or to know then those beginnings. And all that we might know them today. Oh, how so many are unconcerned about these things. How others put them, as it were, to the back of their minds to bring forth, if they could, at another time. Some can say almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Or that it were not only almost, as Paul says, but altogether, that we are convinced of our sins and we are convinced of the Saviour of our sins. That we are convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ came to die for the sins of many, and that we are counted among that many, for we are the children of God. And may we be enabled to prove by precious evidence that the Lord has indeed begun in us, and that we are able to tell, to recount of what the Lord has done for us, And wasn't this part of the confidence of David, that he could look back and see how the Lord had brought him through, how the Lord had watched over him and protected him, how the Lord had kept him from disease and from trouble and from difficulty, that the Lord has ever been with him, that he approved it. And this is one of the great blessings of faith, that we prove that the Lord is good, that his mercies are forever sure. And we can look back and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And he who hath helped us hitherto will help us all our journey through, and give us daily cause to raise fresh Ebenezers to his praise. Then on this first day of another year, can we indeed sing the doxology, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Is that where we stand at this present time? Our desire to praise God for all that he is and all that he has done for the salvation of our souls. And that although at times our faith is feeble and faint, we know, yet there is something within us, something that underlies everything, something that holds us fast, something that gives us that same confidence that David had, that the Lord is our helper. We will not fear what man shall do unto us. My times are in thy hands. They're in the safe hands of a loving Saviour and Redeemer. And not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. Then if we are encouraged by these words, what a help they will be in the time to come. My times are in thy hands. And you know, we can say they always are in God's hands. What of the future? What lies before us in this journey of life? Well, of course, we do not know what the day may hold, let alone what the months or years may hold for us. We know it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. But my times are in thy hands. And as we look to the future with all its uncertainties, and doubtless with its trials, temptations, fears, troublings, what a mercy to have that confidence that my times are in thy hand. As if they're once in the hand of Christ, they ever and always will be. I will never leave thee, says Jesus, nor forsake thee, but I will be with thee unto the end. How Moses came to that point where he desired to see God's glory. John could say we beheld his glory. The desire was in Moses' heart to see the glory of God. But the Lord would not permit him to see his glory. But he would put him in the cleft of the rock and cover him with his hand while he passed by, and take his hand away so that Moses could see his behind parts. But the Lord says to him, I will cause all my goodness to pass before thee in the way. All my goodness to pass before thee in the way. Goodness and mercy, says the psalmist, have followed me all the days of my life. And we have no reason to disbelieve the promise that God's goodness and mercy will go before us in this coming year and throughout the journey of our lives. My times are in thy hands. Can we say it with confidence? Can we say it with certainty that we know that our times are not in our own hands and they're not in the hands of sinful man? What a blessing that is to know that it is so. But can we say that our times are in God's hands? Do we have any reason to believe that God is our divine director? As that cloudy pillar by day and that fiery pillar by night led the children of Israel the 40 years long in the wilderness, so the Lord leads his people on. He goes before them. He has gone before them. He has felt this world's meanest woe, all that came upon him, all that tried him. He was heard in that he feared. There are many things that we fear, many things that trouble, try, and perplex us, many difficulties which lie before us, with which we will have to deal. But we cannot deal with them in our own strength or by our own resources. We must look to the Lord. Lord, give me that strength. Give me that help. May we prove with the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My times are in thy hand. That means that we trust in the living God. David's life was coming to an end, and yet sin was ever with him. David sinned in numbering the people, and yet again he proves God's goodness and mercy in it, and how the Lord brought him to death at a good age, having fulfilled his course here below. He was ready to be taken to be with the Lord forever. We have begun this year. We none of us know if we will conclude this year. We do not know how many more years we may have to live upon the face of this earth. Life is uncertain at best. The only one thing that is certain is death. If the Lord does not come again in the meantime, but to know that our times are in his hand. What a mercy it is. What comfort it gives us in all the trials and difficulties of life, to know that his hand is with us. That hand which holds up heaven and earth. That hand that was so cruelly pierced with nails. The hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is at our right hand. He is our keeper. 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. I don't think we realize quite how often our lives have been preserved, how circumstances could have been so different, how we might have been taken suddenly and immediately from the face of this earth. I'm sure each one of us, as we look back over our lives, can think upon these things, that we escaped death. And perhaps sometimes we were not aware how near to death we were. But the Lord kept us. He's preserved our lives to this present moment of time. Now, is there a reason? Is there a reason why he has preserved us? Mentioned on the Lord's Day that the word of God, the preached word, is a savour of life unto life, or of death unto death. Has he preserved us for our eternal good or our eternal damnation? Should not these things try us? Should we not give them more countenance? Should we not seek the Lord early that we may find him? Are these not good reasons why we should put our trust in God, that we be not brought to confusion? My times are in thy hand. Or that we may each be able to say it at the beginning of this new year. My times are in thy hand. My God, I'm thankful that it is so, because if they're in thy hands, whatever may befall me in the future, whatever circumstances I may come into, whatever trials may beset me, if my times are in thy hand, then all is well. All is well for time and for eternity. And then at last to see the loving hands of the Lord Jesus Christ that have supported us throughout life's journey and gathered us at last into his kingdom and glory, there to be forever with him. Oh, may the Lord bless us then with a knowledge of his love and of his truth. And may we come into the experience of David of old and of every saint of God who can truly echo the sentiments of David in these words, "My times are in thy hands." May the Lord bless each one through this coming year and throughout the remainder of your lives. Amen.